Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And I'm Brandy Brown.
Damn.
No,
that was at the end of it.
I was like, wait.
I was like, she'll get it.
You're listening to the podcast that's making conspiracies fun again. This week, the coal miner's ghost.
Ooh. What?
Is the subject.
Okay.
Very excited. Thank you for listening. We'll bring our guest in momentarily. In the meantime, thank you all for subscribing on Patreon and Spotify.
Yeah, I had a ton of people subscribe on Spotify, so thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Hope you're enjoying the extra episodes.
And if you really like Shane and I, our friends, the Tobins, will be dropping an episode. We got to sit in with them and do their podcast.
That was so fun.
Super fun.
Had great lunch, had great hangs.
I wouldn't say no conspiracies. But it's not a conspiracy podcast.
No.
It's just us hanging.
Just hanging. I cried from talking about a poop story.
We all cried. It was impossible not to cry.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to having people hear that.
And on that note, I am very excited. Our listeners know her from her prior appearances on the podcast. One of our favorite guests we've ever had, and certainly I think our fans have said the same.
What?
You know her. Please welcome back local actor, comedian, Brandy Brown.
Yeah, nice.
Welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Did they really say all those nice things?
No, they really did.
Yeah.
People said she's a great guest.
Stop. I love you too.
Yeah, I'll find him. It might be a while.
Don't worry, I'll remind him.
Well, because we did an episode that involved something kind of scary, and you were like the perfect.
Oh my God, I remember.
Yeah. And so this month, we're doing all Halloween type episodes, including this one, where we talk about a very famous haunting. Not a famous haunting, a haunting of a very famous person.
Oh.
So that makes it kind of interesting.
Is there ghost sex?
No.
I wonder. Yeah, why isn't there?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes people don't bring it up, but like it's a thing and it happens. And I just feel like
it happened in that last episode we did where like the guy said that like a ghost was in his bed, but he couldn't do anything about it. We're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. But that's kind of like a succubus and an incubus. That's
a succubus, for sure.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a ghost. That's a demon or a.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's like that scene in Ghostbusters. It kind of flies under the radar. Dan Aykroyd's laying in bed, and all of a sudden the ghost goes under the covers, and he's just like, eyes roll back.
And when he comes, the song says, Bustin', it says, Bustin' Feels So Good or something like that. It's the best.
Bustin'
great movie making.
Makes me feel good.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray Parker.
That's what
Jr.
the slime is.
Oh, Jesus. I've been slimed.
What's that little ghost, that little fucking...
Cummer.
So, I'm like,
no, it's Slimer. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, holy shit, I've been called something different.
Is that not it? Okay.
Not it. It's not it. Look,
that's a different movie.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, listen, we have a real topic. It's very relevant and interesting. A part of our Halloween series.
All right.
Let's get it together.
This is spooky.
So as I think you all know, the coal miner's daughter, Loretta Lynn, passed away recently.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. Do you guys, are fans of Loretta Lynn? Do you know her? Do you know her work?
Coal miner's daughter movie. The movie?
Yeah.
The movie. That's based
on
her
life. Love that. My mom used to watch that all the time.
Yes, great movie. To many people's mind, Loretta Lynn is the matriarch of country music.
Yeah, she's the country music royalty.
Yeah,
sure.
she's up there. I mean, I put her in the same level with what was one of her best friends, Patsy Cline, like in terms of like her stature. She was amazing because she had a career that spanned 6 decades.
Damn.
That's insane.
That is crazy.
She was born in 1932 in Kentucky. In a charming little town known as Butcher Hollow.
Oh, wow.
She needed help.
Yeah.
Butcher. Not really. We'll come back to that.
Oh, no.
I like her era of country music. As I was researching it, I realized I like her era of country music. Not only was the music better, like it was better. Like I think it was country music that I enjoyed. I sort of grew up on 70s, 80s.
Like outlaw country?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was outlaw then, but yeah. but the songs were more relatable to me. They were more sort of harsh and
yeah
about bad relationships and drinking and stuff.
Yeah, it was good old country.
And they all had parentheses in the title. Yeah. That's what I noticed about, like, her songs are all like, "You ain't woman enough," parentheses, "to take my man," close parentheses.
She said, "Let him know."
Let him know.
It's like, I'm putting a frame around this. Can't she have used a comma?
I mean, right. I don't think they knew about the comma.
I'm not up on punctuation.
They said, "This isn't the comma."
One of two big commas.
One of her hits side. Was "Don't Come Home a Drinking."
Okay.
Parentheses. "With Loving on Your Mind." That's a great song title.
Yes.
What a great thing. Yeah. You can come home drinking. That's fine.
Yeah.
But not with loving on your mind.
The original title was "Don't Try to Fuck Me When You're Drunk."
I said, no, you need to break it down. Put something in parentheses.
Yeah, exactly. Make it sound more lyrical.
I love it.
My wife, she says something similar about whiskey and dick. And
yeah.
"You just stepped in," parentheses, "from stepping out on me." That's a good one. Yeah.
I thought you were still talking about your wife. I was like, God damn, do we need to pause? Let's chit chat.
Justin's wife using parentheses?
Yeah.
No, I'm doing great. those are great songs. I mean, Coal Miner's Daughter is a great song itself, which tells of her humble. I just feel like country music, I don't know where, but somewhere along the way, I don't know if it became more appealing to the masses, but less appealing to me what, but I just, I lost my connection with it.
I think I know the exact song that ruined all of country music.
What?
Which one?
It's "Achy Breaky Heart"?
No. It's a song that, I don't know, I just know the chorus. It goes, "Chasing that neon rainbow and living that honky-tonk dream is all I ever wanted was to play this guitar and sing."
Yeah.
No, that shit's lit. What are you talking about? It wasn't that song.
You're right. I love that song. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm not down with that. That pro-America. I mean.
The minute country music was for America, I was out. Parentheses of America.
No. But I like old Waylon Jennings and old.
Yeah, that's outlaw Kenny country. Yeah.
Outlaw.
Like a George Strait.
I love a George Strait.
My mom loves a George Strait. All the pure country and shit. I like my country mixed with a little pop. Yeah. You're not going to lie. Miley Cyrus, that shit was so lit. And the Jay-Z song was on. I was like, I can relate.
Is that country?
I count that as fucking country. It's like country pop, right? Wait, Shania Twain.
Song? Wait, you're telling me.
I like Shania Twain, too, and the Chicks, formerly known as the Dixie Chicks, but those are my
parents. Are they just the Chicks there?
Yeah, they got
the Chicks, parentheses.
Yeah.
I like that they're still okay with being called Chicks.
It's right,
like,
we're for not now. Even,
eventually, there's going to be the ladies.
Yeah.
They're just going to start singing a harmony, and that's just that's them.
That's hilarious. By the way, I didn't know. Well, I knew this, but I didn't know this. Coal Miner's Daughter, Loretta Lynn, had a long-standing, like, a lot of people partnered up in country music, a man and a woman, and they did duets together. Mm-hmm. Hers was Conway Twitty.
Yeah,
they did. That was like. Johnny Cash and the June Carter and Patsy Cline and maybe Hank. I don't know who Patsy Cline is. But Conway Twitty was the inspiration behind the musical Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh.
Do you know that?
Mm-mm. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
Conway Twitty got drafted into the Army, Elvis style.
Oh.
And they did this thing where he was going to give out one last kiss to a girl before he left, and that became the basis for that musical.
Crazy. Well, we do have a lot of musical theater fans that listen, so this is... Yeah,
sorry. Well, okay.
That was cool.
So
I went to college for theater. I'm like...
Let's get back to the story here. In the 1960s, Loretta Lynn and her somewhat controversial husband, you always know a real good husband when he has... This is his name, Ollivander Vannetta Doolittle Lynn, parentheses, Mooney. No, that's okay. Literally, like, everybody called him Mooney because he drank so much moonshine. They just called him Mooney.
That's not what I thought.
Mooney, you didn't think that was coming? Nah. His ass was coming out? Probably.
Yeah.
Well, they bought a Tennessee plantation known as Loretta Lynn Ranch now in Hurricane Tennessee. It was Hurricane Plantation. And
what year was it?
This was in the 1960s.
Okay.
Prior to her death, she owned, and this is the thing I don't understand, she owned the entire town of Hurricane Tennessee. Sort of like Dollywood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bought like the entire town. It isn't the entire town of Gatlinburg, but it was when she bought it. Like great. Dollywood yeah. was like, she bought it all. That's a weird thing that country music people did.
She got a carnival in Hurricane?
Like Dollywood?
Yeah. yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but it's weird. She originally moved into the original house, and then for the reasons we're going to talk about, she was like, yeah, fuck this. And she built her own mansion. But she also built an exact replica of her one-room cabin back in Butcher Hollow.
Isn't that Kentucky. A thing people do? That's a – didn't
no.
Dolly Parton, she's killing people. She's got her house there.
Oh, maybe that's a thing that like poor yeah. Appalachian.
Yeah, because Dolly Parton's house would be like, did. Yeah, that's, wow, that's how many that's people not they have a, in
that's
here?
Not a normal thing. No, I
probably wouldn't do that. Yeah.
No. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Like rebuild the condo that I grew up in? It's like a 4-story yeah. building.
I would go, I would think about it. I would probably buy the townhouse that I grew up in.
Really? You would buy it, the actual one?
I think so. I drove past it. Once, Shane, you actually don't live that far from it. It's on the other side of Dixon, mm-hmm. over by Sanderson. Mm-hmm. And
you grew up there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I thought that I drove by and, like, they had painted them in different colors. Like, I don't know, and I was just like, oh, I wish that, like, we never sold it. I had, like, a weird moment. Oh, yeah, and I don't want to live there, but I don't know. But I was like, I wish that, like, we still had it. I had a weird reaction, too.
I get it. I get where people who grew up with nothing, and that we're talking about Loretta Lynn. I
mean, rude. I'm sitting right here.
She grew up near Dixon.
I grew
she
up on the
nothing.
Hard side of town, North Raleigh.
Yeah, wow.
She grew up in that, like, that it's almost a stereotype where they had one electronic device in their house, and that was a battery-powered radio. And to conserve the batteries, they listened to one thing every week. Which was the Grand Ole Opry, which is a typical story. Like, that's what you listen to in the South. It's the only time they would turn the radio on, and that's how she learned to love country music. I just don't know what if suddenly I'm worth an amount of money that I just can't really fathom what to do with it all. That's like, true. What would I do like pay homage to my
it's
child?
It's like Bezos doesn't have a garage inside his house to represent that he garage right. he grew Amazon.
He doesn't work at like a used bookstore once a week.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. I mean,
undercover boss, aren't you the one responsible for killing this business? Why are you working here, Mr. Bezos?
Yeah, what would you do to honor your upbringing? Just buy South Dakota?
I would buy Sex Hour Park.
What's that?
Yeah, it's a park near my house.
Sex
hour? It was someone's name.
What hour?
It was Sexaur. It was someone's name. But that's the park I used to go.
That's an unfortunate name for a park because there's a lot of sex after hours in most parks
that's
in America.
The park I found a porn mag in the hollow of the tree on the way home in the winter.
Who's jerking off in...
Trees?
Dude,
that's where you stashed porn in the
days. Tree porn is a thing.
Porn is a thing.
Yeah. Like, I took it home, thought it out. Did my business, got it wet again, froze it, brought it back. I was like, I don't want them to know I actually thought it out.
I wonder how many people have taken it.
Oh, yeah.
Done their is that what it was for? Is like a thing?
I don't think.
A rite of passage.
Yeah, because it had everyone's name that checked it out on the inside.
The pages were
stuck
together.
Stamp it like a library.
That's.
No. But I did find. Yeah, I would buy that because that's where I as a kid, I had no friends. And I'd go there and just play. And they had a creek and I'd, sex hour. I'd take all my money that I've earned over the months and I'd bury it and I'd come back 6 months later and dig it up. I'd have treasure hunts for myself. It was a fun little, it holds
Holy
a special place
shit.
In my memory.
Didn't Mark Twain write a novel about you?
Probably.
Sounds like fucking Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, I was a latchkey kid, man. I would just go play in the park by myself.
No. Well, Loretta Lynn, she built this, this town, Hurricane Tennessee. And just to set the stage, The plantation was the site of a grisly Confederate battle.
Mm. Never mind the slave stuff, but right. the battle.
Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, this is staunchly Confederate South.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Both Butcher Hollow, Kentucky, but also certainly Plantation.
Yeah.
Hurricane Tennessee. But there was a pretty significant skirmish there that led to as many as 19 Confederate soldiers are buried on the grounds.
Mm. Oh, so it was like a Union territory?
No, there was a Confederate area, but the Union marched through and killed like 19 of them Confederates.
Yeah, popped them.
Statement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Gave me a little in and out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Civil War. I don't want to get into Civil War history. I want to
some other time.
I want to get into the
yeah. Let's do.
Here's what I would say about. I've been to a lot of haunted places. The Civil War battlefields are the ones that I have felt the most haunted.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I try to avoid them.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, because we don't have a lot of battle. I mean, most of our battles in this country are from the Civil War. That's one of the few. Mm. Like we had the Revolutionary War, but as it turns out, most of the same battlefields were repurposed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A lot of the forts that they built for the Revolutionary War became Civil War forts and stuff.
It's like football. Like you come to the stadium. Like this is where we're gonna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, because you built a fort and you held battles in places that were strategic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this river and this fjord. Mm-hmm. Fjord, no.
Yeah, fjord.
Ford.
Ford, yeah.
What's the shallow place where you cross a river?
Not a fjord.
A ford.
You got to forge a river.
Ford. No, forge
Damn
is a...
words.
I'm like, I never put the fort in whatever. I'm having a moment where I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I just had a full circle moment of like, oh, we were building. Like, it's like football. I hate bringing it back to that. But like,
yeah,
no, it was, they built these things. Battlefields were at contested strategic locations like Harper's Ferry.
Yeah.
And like big field battles were often just in big fields that were available at the time.
Random fields.
Yeah,
they're like, nobody's playing ultimate this weekend. Let's fight the Confederates.
Y'all good for Thursday?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying that if somebody asked me, they're like, hey, there's a former Civil War battlefield plantation up for sale. You want to flip it? I'd be like,
Hell no.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons, but
I'm like, there's somewhere in me where I'm like, I would, you know, would I buy a plantation if I could make anything positive out of it?
Yeah.
Or just being like, I'm doing something they never thought someone like me would ever do, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is how I flex.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I saw a story like that the other day.
Someone's done it already?
This family bought a plantation that apparently their people, their relatives were enslaved in and worked at. And then after they bought the place, they found a cemetery in the back with all their names.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So now they're like trying to turn it into like, you know, a place of historic value.
I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I didn't think you were going there.
Oh, yeah?
I thought you were going to say they Airbnb'd it.
Oh, yeah.
To white people.
Oh my God, that's what I want to do. I didn't know I wanted it until you said it, but.
Yeah. Dang. And then when they get there, you make them do all.
You hungry? You cook.
Yeah, you cook for me.
Yeah.
You think the bathroom's dirty? Clean it.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to play a clip to set the stage here. This is a clip of Loretta Lynn's longtime assistant talking about the hauntings.
Okay, let's hear it is.
Of the house, okay?
All right.
One morning, Loretta's longtime assistant, Tim Cobb, entered the empty house and heard the sounds of someone walking from room to room on the second floor.
I was getting very nervous and scared, mainly first because of an intruder.
Tim looked upstairs and saw a mysterious shadow.
The shadow was blocking the light as it passed the doorway. So I never could get a full view to see the outline of a person except for the shadow as it passed the reflection of the pictures.
When Tim went upstairs to investigate, he found the brown bedroom above the stairs empty.
The brown, yeah, so that is the...
It was a haunting, y'all.
Y'all.
Ha 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 ha.
This is serious ghost stuff, guys. Come on.
Sorry.
So the house of Loretta Lynn, or at least the house that she did not want to live in and build herself a better mansion, she was claimed to be haunted, especially what he described as what's called the Brown Room.
Okay.
There were Confederate soldiers. People believe that it was something to do with, like, it could have been like an infirmary or a medical room or something like that during the battle. And a lot of these were just dead soldiers who just continue to look for care after they've been dead. I think that battle in general just sort of displaces spirits.
Yeah.
People die and they get buried in unmarked graves and they want to get home and all this stuff. So Loretta Lynn at one point, she decided to have a seance.
Oh my God. What the fuck?
To call up and figure out what was going on.
Okay.
She is a lifelong believer in psychic ability and ghosts and paranormal stuff. So, and if you listen, like, she's interviewed in that whole thing. And she's very like, you know, it's just what ghosts do. They just come in and they take over and you got to go eat dinner somewhere else. Like, she's just very nonchalant about the whole thing. So, so they have this seance and a group of friends contacted the ghost and they're like, please describe yourself. And the ghost was like, my name is Anderson. And they started to like shake the table where they were all doing this seance. So they're like, they kind of broke it off and the table broke.
Oh shit.
And so then Loretta Lynn goes out in Hurricane, Tennessee, and she's like, y'all ever heard of a fellow named Anderson? And they said, oh, that house was built by James Anderson.
Oh, shit.
So they believe that the ghost, one at least the most violent of the ghosts, was at least a descendant of James Anderson.
Is he violent or is he just hammering all the time?
He's just shaking shit.
He built this stuff. He's like, this, I'm a construction man. I'm a big guy. Sorry, I broke it. Don't know my ethereal strength.
Well, I don't think that's it. Doors open and closed. All the time, right? Which, by the way, having lived in a semi-haunted, well, it was a haunted house, that'll drive you nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I closed this door. Like, I know I closed this door. And it's like, who opened this door?
Yeah.
I would never even do that. I'm like, I know who opened this door. And like, I just won't go back in there until someone else. Oh, my God, I hate this so much.
Yeah.
Loretta Lynn claimed that she would hear footsteps on her porch constantly as she'd go out. Good Southern woman. No one would be there. This is where it gets dark. There were sounds of rattling chains. That would emanate through the house.
This is the plantation.
This is the plantation home. The man. So she was like, she would not spend a night alone in the house when her husband or children were gone. So that's why they eventually built another house. Cause she's like, when you're not here, it's just free. There's just noises and rattling and chains and doors are open and slamming.
Does she have a song called I Can't Go Home, parentheses, cause it's haunted?
If she does it, we write in one. Okay. Oh
my God. She had another seance and try to cleanse the house, and there was like the table that they were sitting around started levitating and floating in air. I guess that kind of means the same thing.
They just hate those tables.
The guy was there that we just watched the clip of. He was at the seances.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God. Oh man.
So then they called in Ghostbuster James Van Prague, comer, to help cleanse the house. So James Van Prague, very famous Ghostbuster, he comes in. And so when he does, he starts trying to calm this ghost, and he hears like a classic, like, get out. And Van Prague just leaves. He leaves.
Yeah, you
should. He's like, I'm out. Like, I don't, yeah, like, which I'm like, what a shit Ghostbuster, where you're just like.
Yeah.
Because he knows.
Because he knew he had been fooling people for years.
Yeah. I was gonna
and then
ask.
He got a real ghost, and he was like, that's real. I'm out of here.
He he fucked around at a 7 and he found out at 7.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-mm. Well, it is part of the story, I think, of Loretta Lynn, not a very well-known story, but she had a life history of psychic ability. Mm. And that's what I want to get to in a minute. But like, for example, she had a nightmare one night, woke up screaming because she had seen her father pass. And then her husband, Mooney, remember the moonshine drinker? Mm-hmm. He said, like, just calm down. You just had a bad dream. She's like, I swear something happened to my dad. So they got on the phone, which in that time was not an easy thing.
No,
and had, her like, father had yeah,
he had to like, crank it,
to a car and battery. Her father had died.
Oh, damn.
Hours earlier of a massive heart attack. So she had some sort of dreamlike premonition that her father was dead.
And that's pretty common.
Think that's common.
But that's crazy though.
But she experienced lots of psychic sort of strange things. As I was researching this, I thought of something really interesting, which is you guys are drinking a White Claw.
I want to taste
grimacing. It's not good.
I can't I'm weird about tropical stuff anyways, but I've been drinking it usually sip 3 or 4. You know, you're like, oh, it was the other drink that's like whatever, your palate or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't. I would still drink it because that's alcohol in it, it's just maybe it's the smash part I just can't get into.
Maybe
all the tropical and whatever.
And stuff. We have Mello off mic here just to help you confirm biases.
That's like, you know, like there was a tradition which surely you've participated in where like the guy brings the wine bottle out and he pours you a sip and then you taste it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then you're supposed to decide whether you're going to drink it or not. Yeah. And I'm like, you don't know me. Like, I would, like, is there alcohol in the wine? Yes. Then it's fucking good.
Yeah.
Just, you don't need to pour me a sip. Like,
Are they supposed to open it at your table? Because I went to a restaurant the other day where they brought me the bottle with the cork just out and they
open
put
it in front of you.
Yeah. I was like, and it tastes a little watered down. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Did you buy it?
Yeah.
I would have sent that shit back.
I was gonna, but Gina, my wife, was like, it's probably fine. He probably just said I needed that. And I was like, this is weird to me because we don't know that this is wine.
True.
I worked at a restaurant where there were servers who weren't comfortable.
I think that's probably what it was. That's
and so she, there was one in particular, Lynn, who would say, would you just open this for me?
This guy was so high, it was probably the case. Like, he could not handle serving.
You're supposed to, like, bring it to the table first and be like, this is the bottle.
Yeah, look at the vintage,
And then make some excuse for why you have to go to the back or, like, hand it off to someone else.
Well, this guy was like, he goes, we ordered 2 glasses of wine. He's like, you know, if you get, if you think you'd drink 2 glasses a piece, because if you get a bottle, it's cheaper. I was like, this motherfucker, you on your first day at the job? Yeah, dude, I know how wine works.
Hilarious.
Poor guy. I tipped him to get a new job.
I'm going to help you out.
Yeah. This will give you a week to hit the ground running.
Well, I'm gonna pitch a theory to you two, both of you who I consider artists.
Mm, thank you.
Both of you who I consider to be open to the ability to at least you both believe in ghosts, or at least you have some sort of sense of the paranormal.
Sure. And
here's my theory. Okay, there was a study that came out, and they scanned the brain of 21 art students and 23 non-artists. And what the brain study revealed is that there is a part of the neural matter in artists that is way, way more active than on non-artists. It's at the base of the brain. It's kind of the cerebellum, but it's almost like a whole core of the – our studio guest, Mike Mello, is pointing to a
– big old knot,
in the back of his head.
I think you hit your head in the shower.
Well,
no,
hold that
he
thought.
Sees ghosts.
It is the area of the brain that they associate with fine motor movements, so like artists sometimes, but also with visual imagery and visual memory, like these weird things about memory that people have.
Okay.
Now, a non-related, but I'm going to connect these two studies. Mm. did a study of people that identified as psychics or paranormals with people that were church people.
Oh, yeah.
That did not believe in any of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. They found that the psychics, the people that identified as psychics or people that believed in paranormal, I swear this is true, they had experienced significantly more head injuries in their life than the church people. And so I was like, could it possibly be that when 66% of the psychics show some sort of temporal lobe damage in the same area that we see artists have, that is there some connection between art and psychic ability? Oh. Like, is there some relationship? Now, I want to just put this out there, and I want to be sensitive to it, is that Loretta Lynn and her husband had an incredibly abusive relationship.
I was going to ask.
He definitely beat her, and to flesh the story out, she also said, there was never a time where he hit me once that I didn't hit him twice. Wow. So it went both ways, but is it possible? And she also had an abusive, if you ever watch Coal Miner's Daughter, I mean, she grew up in an abusive family.
Sure, yeah.
Is it possible that there's some weird link between art and abuse and trauma and brain injuries and psychic ability, that there's something about all of this when you stir it all together that the two aren't as different as they might seem at initial glance?
It's just brain damage?
It's just brain, like, the reason that you're funny is brain damage.
I could buy into that.
Yeah.
That theory, yeah.
Yeah, I've been dropped on my head a lot. Same. I've been hit.
I have. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I got a rocks glass thrown at my head and hit me hard.
I fell off a bike like a month ago and landed on my head.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The fact that you were like, I texted you, he's like, we don't have to do the pod. He's like, I'm good. I was like, man, this man's straight special needs now. You should take a rest.
Don't go to sleep, Justin.
I thought it was going to be way more complimentary than that.
Oh, but, no.
But this guy's straight transporter, man.
Yeah, look at this guy. He can handle it. He's
in here, man. It's like a lick. It keeps on. Now you're like, he's this guy.
This guy doesn't know he should sleep, not just stay at home right now.
I also like how you searched for a word
that wasn't a hard word,
but you weren't sure it was special needs.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry, I'll cut all that out. It's fine.
It'll be a lot of things.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I think there is some link here between, because we're all comedians here, and I mean you're an actor and you're a visual artist in many ways, and Mella who's here is
he's good company. He's I love you.
My point is that if you hang around enough artists, especially comics, and you start to see there's ways which everyone's mind works the same. Mm-hmm. Some of that is difficult because you see flaws in other people that you recognize in yourself, and you're like, oh, I hate that about that person, but I really hate myself.
Yeah.
But also the more and more artists I know, somehow the power or the ability to observe and be hyper observant leads you to this place where you're like, I've experienced and seen a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And is that because there's a part of my brain that's been turned on? Mm. And there's other people who have it even more turned on and experienced these things.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting because no one really focused on like the great art the kid from The Sixth Sense was doing.
He was doing good art?
Yeah, we just focused on the fact he saw dead people.
I go back to the brain is so, like, we know a lot about the brain, but there's so much that we don't know, down to, like, they say we only use, like, 10% of our brain.
Right.
And so who's to say what's activated with trauma and not activated? Right. It's hard to tell, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's something that I'm like, please don't make this connection for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, no, right, I'm right. Just like... But, I mean, I think probably all of us have had an experience... I have it quite frequently with my wife. She's just wired differently in like the most beautiful way. It's just so complimentary to me. But like, we'll walk in like a public place and I'll be like, did you see that? And she's like, no, what are you talking about? I'm like, how did you not notice like this random guy doing this weird thing off to the left? But it's that hyper observancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like, is that just part of it? Where your brain is just making connections and filtering so much information quickly, probably because parts of my brain are completely shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like the simpatico, the sympathetic parts of the brain that make emotional and recognize people that need, you know, more than my jokes.
Yeah, I'll reach for a camera before a hand if someone needs help. I'll be like, fuck, this is hilarious.
I just run. Like, I'll figure shit out later. I'll ask someone else who was there. Yeah, what happened with that?
I don't know.
And that's what's interesting about this, too, is it ties to the thought that I've often had, and someone brought it up recently, is that all art comes from a place of trauma, or most good art comes from a place of trauma. And is it necessary? And if it is necessary, are we willing to give up traumatic parts of people's lives and make their lives better in lieu of having art? Like, would we rather have people that don't have issues, but then we wouldn't have art? Like Kanye West. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, like Kanye West wouldn't make great albums, a ton of great albums, if he wasn't mentally.
Right.
No, I don't think, you know. I read a study once where they interviewed hundreds of parents whose children had some debilitating birth defect or something. And they asked the parents, like, if you could go back and remove this, would you? And the parents were like, absolutely not.
Right.
And it was like, no, is debilitating and what it is, it's who they are.
Right, right, right.
And like when you've experienced trauma, like, I mean, in some ways you're like, I wish I could unwind the clock, but that at some point most people realize, like, no, the trauma is where
what got you here.
All these things in my life come from.
Yeah, yeah.
And like for Loretta Lynn, I'm convinced for Loretta Lynn, and if anyone's listening who hasn't seen Coal Miner's Daughter, it's a flat out great movie, but it's also like a great story. Like it's a good, like, the trauma in her life and what she went through and endured to become one of the most successful artists in a long time, I think it just activated a part of her brain where, like, she had something going on.
Yeah.
And, yeah. That's my theory, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
I can get on board with some of that, but I'm also like, this seems a little reckless, like, to, you know, to have some psychic ability at all, and then to be like, I hear things, I think my house is haunted, you know what we should do? Have a seance. Not once, but twice.
Right. No, she had multiple seances.
Yeah, that's insane to me to know that, like, you're that sensitive to something like that, and you just open yourself up. Okay,
but don't you, I know the answer to this question, Brandy, but I'm going to ask it. You buy a beautiful spread with big old home and you move in and you're like, this place is haunted. Then she just builds a brand new house next door. Isn't that what you would do?
Like right next door?
No, I mean, not right.
How many feet are we talking?
Like, yeah, like, I mean,
I'm like, girl, like, I wish...
love the move. I'm saying, like, this place is haunted. I have the money. Why would I keep living here? I'll just
go. The land. Hurricane Tennessee is haunted. How big was the city? It's just her and her family on this plantation?
No, I think it was a small town. You know, couple thousand people. She just bought the town. She owned everything in the town.
I mean, I guess so. I've been in some situations with a building that was very much haunted for years. And, like, I'm like, this is my job. I come to this place. I guess I could have found a different job. But it didn't change that, like, it was still haunted. I tried not to be there by myself. Whenever I would never be like, you know what I want to do because it's Thursday, a seance.
Oh, yeah, right. You're I don't want to find out.
Yeah.
We've talked about the ghost, the good night's ghost.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You think those ghosts are going to live on in these high end apartments they're going to build?
I think so. Abdu is so funny. There was this art that was up on the third floor, and just when they were talking about the move and stuff, like the old pictures of like what was going on in the factory.
I actually asked him to have them.
Yeah, no, don't do that. He was like, I'm gonna gift them to the people who are buying this, and me, I think Rachel was there too, and we're like, why would you do that? Yeah. Like, just get rid of them. He's like, you know, so I can live on. You know, they're just like, I hear noises.
Oh, right. That's like
totally
that.
Totally what's going to happen.
Hell yeah.
Sure. The Catholic orphanage that burned down and killed all those kids.
That's like down the street on Western?
Yes.
Yeah.
They had an angel statue, Michael, the archangel. And it ended up in a post office in Cary.
Stop. We can't talk about none of this.
Yeah, he delivers mail now. It's a good story.
and the post office, they moved it there, and then all the post people were like, do you guys hear, like, smell smoke and hear children?
Shut up, no.
And like, yeah. That's a true story.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple things that we can use for final thoughts. Okay. One is, like, generally speaking, Loretta Lynn, may she rest in peace, and her haunted plantation. I think a good rule of thumb is maybe don't buy a plantation. Like,
it's an energy thing.
That's energy thing.
Yeah, there's not good energy there.
Yeah, burn it down, repurpose it, make it something good. Like, make it a force for good, not a private.
Yeah,
definitely don't hold seances.
No,
yeah, maybe avoid those.
unless you want to hear what the people back then had to say that were not the soldiers, but maybe, you know.
Girl, they're gonna be mad at you.
I'm sure.
Being misunderstood.
These white people bring me back to the dead.
No, like, someone told me once, I think it was actually at East Carolina, where they were like, you know, they have like soldiers or whatever. And I was like, don't be outside by yourself ever.
Right.
Night.
Yeah.
So you can talk about that, or you can talk about the idea that the brain, the artistic brain and the psychic paranormal brain, are somehow linked through trauma, that certain parts of our brain are more active. I want to be clear. I'm not saying that's better or worse.
Sure.
I'm just saying, like, it's there. It's a thing.
Well, I saw a study that said, and I realized recently after we did the Tobin's Talking Shit Pod, they're like, so this, tell me about this thing. And I was like, man, I don't cite any of the things I mentioned. I should probably stop talking because I don't have any records of anything I've said and where it came from. But I saw a study that said that schizophrenic brains and brains of people that, like, see paranormal things are similar. They have a similar, like,
That's
structure. Or people that see UFOs, I think, and schizophrenics have similar brain structure, ghosts and UFOs and stuff. So it's like your brain is changed in a way that allows you to see things you wouldn't normally see. It's like getting a pair of cool glasses if you're colorblind. And then you make TikToks.
I'm like, I'm here for these TikToks. No, like, I learned at a young age, my grandma was like, I could tell her everything. She's like, don't tell anyone else that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you were shining. She was from Louisiana. Yeah, it was just like weird shit, but like, I don't know how much of it was her just like not willing to deal with like an eccentric kid. He's like, and she's just like, nah, you're being weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What would you tell her?
I saw a UFO once, or at least like I was describing to her. Like, I was going to the bus stop, I remember no one was there. Like, that seemed weird I would be going there. And I also remember standing there and seeing this, like, thing up above me. Like, this is the only way I can describe it. And it, like, flew. And it was, like, kind of far up, but it just kind of stopped. Oh, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? You know, like, what is this? And I want to say that the bus came back around and I just kind of got on the bus. But I remember telling my grandmother after, like, I saw this weird shit, and she was like, girl, don't tell nobody else that shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, she just, but she no, that's also a good point. From Louisiana, like, she's would talk about weird shit that she's seen,
yeah, yeah,
or whatever. So I think it was more of a like a protecting, like, I don't want people to think you're fucking weird. Right. I mean, you are weird, but like, keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point because, I mean, Loretta Lynn, you know, at least by the time she lived at this place, I mean, she was untouchable in terms of like critique. I mean, she was she had all the money she could ever want, mm-hmm, and she could talk about these things openly, but a lot of people can't.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Right? Like, I mean, like, you can't just walk around and just be like, oh, yeah, I saw a ghost today. Like,
right.
Eventually people are like, that guy's weird. Like, he's.
And that applies to not only just paranormal stuff, but like, when I had my last full time job, my coworker, I would always complain about stuff. She's like, why do you say that? I think the same thing, but I don't share my business. She goes, because this is going to come back and bite your ass. And sure enough, guess who doesn't work at this job anymore?
You got, you, okay.
She's right.
You should have listened.
Yeah, she's like, man, keep it to yourself.
Hilarious.
So that counts for all things. Don't share your business. Don't have a podcast.
Yeah, don't say things.
Yeah.
Just don't talk to people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's have how no my wife friends. Is.
Yeah.
She's always like,
she's happy.
I saw you commented on this. Why would you do that?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know. I thought it was funny. She's like, you know how many times I've commented on anything on social media? 4 times. And I was like, are you serious? She's like, yes.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I pick and choose. Sometimes I'm just like drinking. That's when I comment the most. Mm. When I'm just like, happy birthday. Like everyone's got to.
Yeah.
That's usually because I've just been drinking. But like, I try not to. Sometimes I go in to comment and then I just don't. I'm like, I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
When I came home from the Tobin's podcast, I was super stoned and I was thinking about commenting on everything. And I was like, no, hold on. My wife's told me about this. This is not the time when you want to comment.
It. No.
Wait till tomorrow if it's still good.
It's like drunk texting.
Yeah, you can delete it, but by then I have screenshot that shit.
Yeah, and I'm holding it.
Absolutely.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Well, final thought, Shane, you got a final thought? My final thought, by the way, is that Loretta Lynn and other artists, they have some kind of trauma to the back of their brain, which has both enabled their artistic ability, but also their psychic ability.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, Kanye West got in a car accident and his jaw didn't work, so he got it to the front of his head and we see where that went. rest in peace, Kanye. I love his music, though. I think you're right. I think there is something with the brain and the brain structure that allows us to tune in to different things. And if you're more open to it, they said that if you're more open to these experiences, the more you are going to see these things. So if she's already into the paranormal and into things like that, you're more likely to see stuff. So I think it's legit. Let's keep the trauma happening. I want more ghosts.
Parentheses, I want more ghosts.
I want parentheses, I want more ghosts.
Yeah.
What you got, Brandy?
I mean, I still got questions, but I'll leave it.
Oh, no, we'll take questions.
Yeah, no, I just, like, does she ever have a commercial where she's like, I do readings or whatever? She never did that.
Like, no, Sylvia Brown?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, so she was, like, legit. She was just like, I'm rich. This is, like, some ability shit I've had for a while. Did she say anything before she was famous? Or
if you watch that documentary, she...
What was it again?
I don't know. Just Google Loretta Lynn haunted...
I don't know. Oh, damn, I mentioned citing our sources, and here we are.
It was by like a legit history channel.
Loretta Lynn's haunted plantation.
Yeah.
Okay. Her worker, by the way, that was pointing out the ghost has a shirt with her face on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, got other interviews that I want to watch.
Yeah.
That guy's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, that is...
He said, my God, it's a haunting.
He looks like an old Cliff Cash, like an old skinny Cliff Cash.
He said, my God, he jumped out.
It's a haunting.
It gave me the vapors.
The vapors.
Final thoughts. I'd agree. I think to a certain degree, we don't know a whole lot about the brain. So for the most part, when those types of things come up, I'm like, yeah, makes sense. Like, I'm sure 20 years from now, there will be, I'm sure they're doing it right now, studying it somewhere, or someone's already done it. And they have the numbers, they have the science to like back that up, but in 20 years it'll be different. I buy into it. But I also buy into something that Shane said, that when you believe something, I think that subconsciously your brain does this thing where it wants to, if you believe it, it wants to give you more information
right.
to kind of mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. up, you know, this thing that you already believe. So there's that. I think that I'd like to probably read some more about it. I buy into both of them. I'm also yeah. like, you know, gonna have to sage and like burn white candles and stuff just from talking about yeah, this because yeah. I don't.
Do you see, if you think about like the Civil War, let's say 1860s, she bought this plantation. I don't know exactly when, but mm-hmm. in the 1970s. So like, let's just say it's 100 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, when are we gonna start to see ghosts?
Oh, that look like us.
From like a, yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Like where it's like a 1960s ghost, where it's like, hey, that guy's just disco dancing in the club. Yeah, like
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Like when you're going to be like, oh man, that's like a jazz player in my basement. Like,
oh yeah.
Like when, like we only hear about really old ghosts. Like why, when are we going to start hearing about like modern day yeah. ghosts?
Like it's like less terrifying. I think that like a different, a younger generation of people are like, yeah, there are ghosts here. They're fucking yeah. awesome. We meditate every day around 4.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone else to know about my ghost. So
that shit's stupid. If you think that's, listen, if you're going to get together and feel like, oh, we love the ghost, you're going to get fucked up. You're going to end up, you are meddling.
Comers coming.
Fucking forces that you do not and will never understand. That yeah, is
there's more
dumbass
stories
shit.
About people smashing ghosts too.
Smashing like sex. Oh,
yeah. I like had to go down this path of looking it up for a different podcast thing. It has something to do with American Horror Story. And so I was looking up ghost sex specifically.
Sure.
You can fuck a ghost.
So this is the thing. If you watch it enough, these interviews, because I watch the same interviews over and over again, where like when you first watch it, you're just kind of in shock. Mm. Where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe the ghost fucked her. Like, why her? Yeah. And then you watch it again, and I guess the more times you watch, the less believable it is. And some of them, you're like, this bitch is just fucking crazy.
Right.
But there's also, like, celebrities who are like, I got fucked by a ghost, or I've been fucking a ghost.
Wow.
I, like, don't even want to bring this shit into my life. But, like, yeah, no. What? It really is. I think that we don't get the whole story. I think that, like, if people are like, we don't hear about friendly ghosts that much, you know, where I think that there are people who are probably haunted. But is it called a haunting if you're not scared out of your fucking mind?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So.
It's just called a buddy situation.
Yeah. There's something here, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's.
It'd be weird if you, like, just a scenario where, like, you go home with someone. You have really good sex, mm-hmm. and then like they disappear.
Oh yeah,
and then you're like, "Hey, did you see that girl I was with?" And they're like, "You walked in by yourself, bro."
They're yeah.
Like, no, I had a girl with me, and people are like, "No, you didn't."
You're yeah.
Like, then that's when the haunting would begin. Like in the midst of it, I'm just like, yeah, like I'm cumber the
yeah yeah.
I'm just.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just like, I feel like there's.
Someone's mouth got came
like
in last night.
Ectoplasm.
Why am I coming green?
Yeah, what
slime?
Is that?
I like want to go home and look more into this. Like, I didn't know this about her. Yeah. And now that I know, it's like this whole like, but I got to wait for it to be the day because I'm scared because it's nighttime.
It's no. Well, listen, you have been a fantastic guest as always.
As always.
And so before we get out of here, where can our fans follow and find you on the webs?
On the social medias?
Yeah, the medias.
Yeah. Find me on Instagram. I think it's at BrandChick. Right? Do you guys know my stuff?
It.
Is it at Brand Chick?
That's usually how it works.
Yeah, that's
me. Or just like, it's Brandy it's Renee Brand Brown. Chick. Also, if you guys have any time whatsoever, we just had a series, this little show of mine, written, directed by Ellen Daniels. She's also starring in it. She's fantastic. I play Kim. You can find the first episode for free on YouTube, and
awesome.
The other 5 episodes are on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
Excellent.
Hell yeah.
Well, we'll shoot that out to all of our fans.
Thank you.
And listen, you've been great. This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Brandy Brown.
Peace.